Outside a small house 8 miles southeast of downtown LA, Noemi Perez plunges an empty bucket into a barrel of water. Two girls and a boy, all less than 5 years old, play inside. Noemi brings the bucket in to flush the toilet and then gets more water for the dishes. The water inside the house has been shut off for 2 months because her family has been unable to pay the bill.
For now, our neighbor in the front is giving us buckets of water.
Noemi sewed collars onto American Apparel shirts for almost 7 years until she lost her job in late September. Since then, her job search has led to a series of rejections. She briefly tried working at another LA garment factory, but it only paid her 16 cents per piece. That is when she was actually paid for her work. Meanwhile, her landlord's deadline for eviction has already passed.
And the situation is that none of the five adults who live here have been able to find work, except for my brother, who still works for American Apparel. And we don't have the money to pay the rent.
How much is rent?
$1,100. The landlord said that we should tell him by today whether or not we have the rent. Otherwise, he would like us to vacate by Saturday.
So what are you going to do?
We would have to leave.
Do you have any place to go?
No.
Maricela, Noemi's sister, worked at American Apparel for just short of 5 years. She has a worst-case scenario worked out with her husband.
Well, the thing is, I think about my daughters. And like my husband says, if they make us leave, even if we're sleeping in our car, we're still together.
American Apparel's main factory is a complex of giant warehouse buildings in downtown LA. A mostly Latino workforce brings finished clothes from first floor racks to the trucks lined up along the perimeter. The workers I spoke to made up to $12 an hour after earning raises and could trade some of their wages for health insurance. Over the years, American Apparel's CEO, Dove Charney, has been a vocal supporter of undocumented immigrants. The company funds an advocacy campaign called Legalize LA, spreading pro-amnesty messages through billboards, t-shirts, and newspaper ads. But the production team on the floor today is only about three-quarters of what it was before September 2009, when Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, forced the resignation or termination of about 1,600 undocumented workers. Roberto Suro is a professor at the Annenberg School for Communication and Journalism at USC.
You know, there's an interesting symbolism in the fact that this was aimed at a company that was very visibly part of the immigration debate and very visibly positioned itself in favor of immigration reform. I certainly don't know how the decision was made to pick this firm as the target, either of the initial investigation or then to be kind of the poster child for the new Obama policy. But it certainly made it a very visible enforcement action.
And not the only one. In October, about 1,200 undocumented workers were fired after a government audit of a Minnesota cleaning company. The following month, ICE officials announced that 1,000 companies with some connection to public safety would be investigated for hiring undocumented workers. That brought the number of audits since the start of fiscal year 2009 to over 2,400, more than four times as many as the previous fiscal year. The American Apparel audit began in late 2007. ICE investigators looked at documents that new hires had provided when filling out their I-9 paperwork. Under the Bush administration, ICE often followed up on these audits with worksite raids that split up families through detentions and deportations. But in this case, the investigation wasn't done until summer 2009, making it part of President Obama's inheritance. Obama has opted to move away from raids and instead to make employers fire workers that can't disprove the investigators' conclusions. ICE exerts this pressure with the threat of huge fines and criminal charges against employers in some cases. LA-based attorney Peter Shea is representing American Apparel on the matter. Shea sees Obama's intensification of I-9 audits as an unnecessary political maneuver, part of the Democrats' plan to pass an immigration overhaul in 2010.
There are some in the Obama administration who believe that in order to lay the groundwork for comprehensive immigration reform in the future, including a generous legalization program in the future, that for the present, the Obama administration has to show the anti-immigrant crowd that they're strong on enforcement.
Shea is also executive director of the Center for Human Rights and Constitutional Law, a nonprofit that focuses on immigrants' rights. He's filed a class action suit to prevent the government's return to the Bush-era raid tactic. Shea would like the Obama White House to make administrative changes, like directing ICE investigators to work more closely with the Department of Labor so that criminal employers become the primary targets of enforcement actions.
The vast majority of these terminated workers will be driven into the welcoming arms of the sweatshop owners. They'll move from jobs where the average wage was probably $12 an hour to jobs in which the average wage will probably be $6 or $7 an hour. They'll move from jobs where health and safety laws and labor laws were scrupulously followed to jobs where they're routinely ignored. No one even cares about them.
The downtown UCLA Labor Center has been trying to help the laid-off American Apparel workers. Organizers like Natalia Garcia have been giving them information on food banks, free clinics, and potential employers that might not require documentation.
We met with the Mexican consul along with the Salvadorian and Guatemalan consul to see what services they could offer, which the option is that the Mexican consul will pay for your flight to go back to Mexico if you choose to do that. Other than that, if there's a medical emergency, they may be able to pay up to $600 for you.
$600 may not pay for much medically, but it could make a difference for terminated workers like Sergio, who spent 4 years at American Apparel in housekeeping and security.
I can't make the payments on my home in Mexico. I can't do it. The payments to my house, I'm not sending money to my mother. And well, I have thyroid cancer, and I had decided to have a healthy organic diet, but it's impossible to have that now because I have to live with the cheapest thing, whatever is on sale. And when one is faced with news like you're not going to be employed or you're not going to have an income, it affects your immune system and the illness advances.
Sergio and some of the other former employees I talked to admitted having gotten documents less than a block from the labor center where we spoke, in LA's most famous marketplace for fake papers, MacArthur Park.
ID? My friend needs a work permit and a social security.
One social security?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's $40.
$40. How long does it take to get it?
1 hour.
1 hour? Okay.
I need your name and number of the social security.
Wouldn't you be providing the number?
I need the number, the name, and the number.
So I provide the number to sort of make it up.
It's that easy to get a false social security card, which is one reason why, according to USC professor Roberto Suro, the government's long-term plan relies on expanding electronic verification, an effort launched under President Clinton, accelerated under George W. Bush, and embraced by Obama.
The so-called E-Verify system, where an employer can do a computer check to see whether an individual is authorized to work. It's one piece of what's expected to be a larger solution.
According to Suro, the government's strategy is to strengthen E-Verify as soon as possible, so as to create space for legalization as part of a comprehensive reform bill. But Suro is among those with serious doubts about E-Verify. He says, for one thing, it's yet to be seen that the government can manage an accurate database of all eligible workers.
It's not totally clear how you set up a system so that every employer can access that database, even somebody who's just looking for somebody to help paint a house for the afternoon. And it's also not clear what kind of identifier a worker has to present so that when they say, this is my name and my social security number, that's really them.
Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano has been promoting the E-Verify system in part with an iE-Verify logo that participating companies can use to boast about voluntary compliance. Although it has terminated its undocumented workers, American Apparel won't be displaying the logo as it does not plan to use E-Verify. The company now has to be careful to hire only applicants who can prove their legal status, since doing otherwise at this point could add to fines that have reached $38,000, or even subject executives to criminal charges. That pleases immigration opponents in Congress who think this will benefit U.S. citizens looking for work. But attorney Peter Shea says he thinks American Apparel and many other companies in this situation won't even hire replacements for most of these jobs given the state of the economy. That to him means nobody benefits. And as for the argument that increased enforcement will help pass comprehensive reform, Shea isn't buying that either.
It's just not going to be part of the consideration. Legalization is going to have to be addressed on its own merits. There are tough questions about those merits. That's what the debate will be about.
Whether or not Obama's increase in I-9 terminations is an attempt to get Republican votes, and whether or not it achieves that goal, in the short term, thousands more immigrant families across the country are in crisis. For Making Contact, I'm Patrick Burke in Los Angeles.